MyPillow is having their biggest bed sheet sale ever. The MyPillow Percale sheets are available in a variety of colors and all sizes are on sale. For example, the queen size regular price, $89.98, now is only $39.98 with your promo code REGULARJOE. Order now as there are a very limited supply. The MyPillow Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code REGULARJOE to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $29.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code REGULARJOE, or call 1-800-648-3665 and tell them to use the promo code REGULARJOE to get the lowest price ever on the MyPillow Percale sheets.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, suck it.
Good morning and welcome to one, welcome to all. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you on a Thursday. That's right, we are just one day away from the start of the weekend. And I know, like me, that gets you kind of excited, right? That means we're almost there. We've almost made it through yet another week. Not mere survival, but trying to find ways to thrive as we work to restore our great Republic, making sure that freedom and liberty are not just words, but a reality for us, for our children, for our children's children, and their children's children as well. All right, on tap today, I want to discuss a contract with conservatism. I'll explain in mere moments. But first, let me tell you, it is 8:07 a.m. Central Time, which means as we speak, right there in Taiwan, it is 9:07 p.m. Over in Romania, it is 4:07 p.m. In Brandon Falls, Delaware, it is 9:07 a.m. And of course, that is your new and improved Biden Crime Family Time Check, brought to you at the top of each and every hour to make sure one can't possibly forget the depth, the breadth of corruption that is the Biden crime family. They say you've got to be good at something in the world. Well, we know what Hunter Biden is good at. It's not art. It's shakedowns. It's hiring hookers and doing crack. I mean, look, that's his specialty. Joe Biden is his specialty is failing forward and utilizing his high level positions to pad the pockets of himself, his brother, his son's former concubine, which is also not to be confusing, but that's also Joe Biden's former daughter-in-law. It gets a little bit confusing when you deal with the Biden family relations. There's questions, there's difficulties. It's not funny, really. It's not. It's kind of sick and twisted, but you almost have to laugh when you realize the level of cognitive dissonance that is necessary for liberals to continue to believe the things they believe. But I digress. So, look, I have lots to get into today. First of all, Liz Cheney, we will continue that conversation. To say that she is deluded is not to do justice to the word deluded. I mean, I'm not sure if she's going for the Oscar. She thinks that she's playing the role of Lincoln. And mostly people are going whiskey tango foxtrot. They're just sitting there going, I think even people at the Lincoln Project and the Bulwark are like, yeah, all right, that's not. Matter of fact, we'll hear from the founder of the Bulwark, the once reputable Charlie Sykes is on tap in our soundbite roster today of people that I think even they're like, okay, yeah, she's kind of jumped the shark. But nonetheless, we will get into that. The left-wing war, according to Matt Gaetz, It's on cow farts. I will explain, and he's not necessarily wrong. It's kind of a fun way to look at it, of course. In Jim Carville. Now, look, Jim Carville is a caricature of, well, everything. Humans, politics, you name it, he is. But here's the thing. He is bluntly honest most of the time, which is somewhat refreshing. And he's actually fairly insightful. Now, his politics are ridiculous. And I'm not claiming otherwise. This isn't like I'm going to go have drinks with Jim Carville. But he's worth paying attention to. Now, the effort to redefine everything is even extending to Jim Carville. Because he says, look, there's silly people out there. Eh, whatever, you can deal with the silly people. They've got some silly beliefs. And then, now where have you might heard this phrase before? There are those that are practitioners of evil. And the evil ones are the ones we need to be worried about. Now, on the face of that, that sounds absolutely correct. But I'll let you know who he said are the evil ones. I'll give you a hint. It's not dudes pretending to be women. Just to be clear, that's in the silly category. To give you a little bit of a teaser, Mike Pence has spoken. It's not clear if anyone listened, but he has spoken. And here's the thing. I want to say on the outset, I do not dislike Mike. I don't know Mike Pence. I met him literally in a reception line one time when he was visiting Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I happened to be invited to the tarmac event to welcome him. So I shook his hand, and that's the extent of our relationship. Full disclosure. So when I say I don't dislike him, I'm just saying like I don't look at him with great disdain as some do. But he spoke out about the whole FBI situation. And once again, you have a Republican missing the forest because there's this tree in the way and they can't figure out how to get to the forest. And I want to talk about it just because, you know, one of the questions I constantly ask myself when I see moments like this is, is he just reading something someone wrote for him that they're like, oh, this will get a good applause line. And, you know, you want to make sure you come off as even keeled and we want, you know, here's the chance to score some points, that kind of a thing. Or do they really believe, like, are they really assessing the situation the way that they're presenting it? Because if it's the former, I guess you get a little bit of a pass because it's politics, right? Yeah, it's politics. If it's the latter, though, it really worries me because I'm like, how is it they can miss something so clear and so obvious? And it begs the question of, you know, what is it that's in their head? Now, that brings me, by the way, to my question of the day. Poor Melinda, she said, do you have a question of the day? And I said, no. I do. I'm just having a little fun. Now, I'm going to present to you, and we'll have this online shortly, a draft of what I'm calling the contract with conservatism. And I call it this way because, and this gets to our question of the day, which I will give you in a moment. But everyone, particularly in the primary, and I've caught some flack since the primaries, particularly in the state of Wisconsin, that I did not endorse in certain races, particularly the governor's race. And, you know, I get it. People want to know what you think, what you think of which people, those kind of things. Although I would say that if people pay attention, they can kind of know that anyway. It's not a secret. You just got to listen. You just got to focus on the discussions that are being held, what matters and what and so forth. But all that being said, it occurred to me that really, I think we have this a little backwards. And what I mean by that is we're always worried, well, who is Donald Trump endorsing? Who's Regular Jones? Who's Steve? We look at these people like, well, who are you endorsing? Why are we so worried about who is being endorsed by the voters as opposed to the candidates seeking the endorsement of all the voters, not just some people that maybe have a higher visibility than others? Instead, why don't we make a situation where we give the candidate the opportunity to endorse the voters? That may, I don't understand. Well, that's what the contract with conservatism is. It's a statement of saying, hey, here's what we believe. Here's what's important to us as conservative voters. Will you sign the pledge to make this important? Will this become kind of a foundational piece of your run for whatever? But the way this one is written, it's more for statewide offices. So governor, lieutenant governor, secretaries of state, attorney generals, and so forth. It could easily be adapted to a presidential race or even a senatorial race, those kind of things. But, you know, one of my focuses has always been, and this is, again, where we're different as a national show, is highlighting the states. We keep a strong, clear eye on the federal government. We talk about it, but ultimately we have to remember under federalism, we are a conglomeration of 50 individual states that make up this union. And as our Constitution makes very clear, those things not delineated here are left to the state. The power of the state is terribly misunderstood and often not fully utilized. That's why I focus on it. And I try to help people. And so that's where I kind of wrote this with the help of others. I want to be clear. There's some other conservative leaders that I consulted with in putting this together. But I want to present this throughout the day to you. We'll get into it shortly. And I want to know, first of all, do you agree? Do you think, yep, you're covering the important issues here? Or do you think, ah, come on, Joe, you're missing this. You shouldn't bother talking about that. I want to, because what I would propose is that this contract with conservatism should be presented in each and every state of the union where you have contentious statewide races. If you're looking for a new governor, new lieutenant governor, whatever it might be, I mean, you could even do this for the state assembly, state senate, absolutely, could easily be adopted at that level, because again, that those are going to be the hands and feet, if you will, of a gubernatorial run is going to be their state house. You know, the governor doesn't make the law. He simply signs them into law. So it has that reach and that design to that reach. So, but my question of the day goes hand in hand with my question on the contract with conservatism, which is, because we have some sound to this effect. And I know you're going to think I'm being tongue-in-cheek when I ask this question. But I am to a certain degree, but I'm also being serious because I think this is one of those topics. It's the chatter on the left is growing louder and louder. And I think it needs to be addressed openly, not just for the sake of the conservative movement. But I think, again, remember the audience within a conservative talk show, 20 to 30% of the audience are left wing liberals, the wing nuts that tell you how much they hate everything we stand for, but yet they're addicted to listening to us discuss it each and every day. In some cases, more so than even the conservative audience. Thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. Either way, so here it is, the question of the day. And I have a reason for asking. Matter of fact, I will give you the question, and then I will share the thought behind the why. Adam Kinzinger, you know, crying Kinzinger. It's just, I never thought ever in my life that I would. All right, so Adam Kinzinger recently was on MSNBC, and he had something quite interesting to say. Cut number 9. This is it.
You have people today that literally, I think in their heart, they may not say it, but they equate Donald Trump with the person of Jesus Christ. And to them, if you even come out against this amazing man, Donald Trump, which I mean, obviously quite flawed, you are coming out against Jesus, against their Christian values. And when you go after their religion, that violates the depth of who they are. And I've been kicked out of my tribe, and that's okay.
I like the sour grapes. I was kicked out of my tribe. It's okay because I'm a tough guy. No, my lip's not quivering. So my question of the day, as conservatives, do any of you really believe that Donald Trump is the Messiah?
This is the Regular Joe Show.